Right, children. Everybody ready? Then I'll begin. I'm going to tell you a brand new story today. It's about a poor princess who lived in a lonely kingdom far away. More than anything else, she wanted to see the great wide world outside, but she knew that she never would. Then, one day, do you know what happened? A handsome prince came riding into the kingdom. Yes, he fell in love with the poor princess, and she fell in love with him. And he said, "Come away with me to my land and be my wife." And she did. And the princess and the prince lived very, very happily, forever and ever after. Isn't that a wonderful story?
The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Mark Gatiss as Bert Stevens and Christian Rodsker as Inspector Dawkins. The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith.
Tell me your name.
You know my name.
This is for the official record. Your name.
My name's Bert Stevens.
And you're the odd job man at the school in Pengate.
Well, not anymore, I imagine.
Just answer the question.
Yes, I am. Was.
You worked with Miss Emily Smith.
Of course I did. Why do you keep asking me questions when you already know the answers?
All right. Here's a question I don't know the answer to. Have you ever killed anyone before? Or was this your first time?
What do you make of these?
What are they?
They arrived in the morning's post, examples of contemporary art. This one first, I think.
Landscape. What is it, chalk and charcoal? Well, decent quality anyway. What's that in the snow?
As usual, you penetrate straight to the heart of the matter. The second drawing gives a closer view.
Thank you. Oh, someone lying down.
And finally, closest of all, the highlight of the collection, sensitively titled A Study in Frozen Death.
Ah. Well, I can see why they appeal to you, but I'm not sure I want them over the mantelpiece.
What do you make of the footprints?
This single set leading to the body, they're meant to be hers, obviously.
And?
The second set goes up to the body and then away again. Presumably they're meant to belong to whoever stuck the knife in her chest.
Chisel.
Oh, chisel, then. I still think it's a macabre set of pictures. Where did you buy them?
That's a perfectly reasonable question, given what you know of my taste in art.
But
as it happens, I didn't buy them. They've been sent by one Detective Inspector Geoffrey Dawkins of New Horton in Kent. He asks for our assistance with, and I quote, a most extraordinary and baffling crime.
These are pictures of an actual murder?
Drawn from life, or lack of it.
Oh, please.
It was committed 2 days ago and captured for posterity by an enterprising local artist.
Well, I can't see anything baffling about it.
Because I haven't yet given you all the facts.
Well, what is it you haven't told me?
That second set of footprints, the ones that come from the opposite direction.
What about them?
Well, you've already remarked that they go up to the corpse and then away again.
Well, yes, it's obvious.
But what isn't obvious is that they were made by the man who found the body.
But that means...
Exactly. Both he and his wife swear that when they first saw the scene, the snow was completely undisturbed, except by the dead woman's own footprints.
It was the stab wound that killed her?
Without question.
A suicide?
She left no notes, and the idea is unthinkable, according to the inspector.
Oh?
Well, he doesn't elaborate, but self-stabbing to the heart isn't exactly a common method, at least not this side of Japan.
But she's in the very centre of the field.
You see the problem.
With a wound like that... She could only go 2, maybe 3 steps before she collapsed.
So the fatal attack must have happened more or less where she fell.
She walked into the open field...
Leaving her footprints in the snow.
And then someone murdered her.
But left no footprints at all.
A most extraordinary and baffling crime.
To an official detective inspector, at least.
This thing's as sharp as a scalpel.
Observation of details. Very good. Mr. Holmes would be proud of you. What a pity he's gone home and can't see how well you've learnt your lessons.
He'll be back for the trial.
Oh, and you're looking forward to telling him how clever you've been since he left. There's no point in having tools if you're not going to treat them properly.
You know about tools, do you?
Of course. I need them for my work. Hammers, screwdrivers, saws.
Chisels.
Oh, yes. Chisels are especially useful.
Mr. Holmes, an honour.
Inspector Dawkins.
And Dr. John H. Watson.
Inspector.
Oh, I'm a great admirer of your writing, Doctor. Never miss a Strand magazine.
Oh, very kind of you.
The case, Dawkins. Have there been any new developments?
To be honest, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid I've brought you down here for nothing. The fact is, gentlemen, I have the killer under lock and key.
Oh, good work, Inspector.
Thank you, Doctor.
You have a confession?
Not yet.
But then you have proof.
Well, not only is the murder weapon this man's property, he was seen having a blazing row with Miss Smith, with a dead woman, 2 days before her death.
And that's the whole of your case?
Well, I'll get more.
So you're quite certain of this man's guilt?
Yes, I am, Doctor. I've dealt with a good few murderers in my time. They all have something in common. Something in their eyes that says they're capable of taking a life. This man's got it too.
I didn't kill her. How many times do I have to tell you? You've got no right keeping me here.
I've got every right.
You've got no proof. You can't have. Why are these two here if you can prove it? Mr. Holmes, hasn't he sent for you to find his proof for him?
Tell me about your argument with Miss Smith.
You won't find any proof. I didn't kill her. Mr. Holmes, you've got to get me off.
The argument, Stevens.
It wasn't an argument, just a disagreement.
What was it about?
She was keeping something from me.
Did she normally confide in you?
Oh, yes. She was my friend.
A school teacher and an odd job, man.
It didn't matter to her. She wasn't like that. She used to enjoy talking to me.
Until recently.
She changed. She was secretive. Something was worrying her, eating away at her. I told her I wanted to help.
What did she say?
She told me she didn't need my help. She'd sorted everything out for herself.
I've got witnesses who heard raised voices.
She was short with me. I'm afraid I forgot myself.
Shall I tell you what really happened?
You've already told me.
I think you made advances to her.
No.
I think those advances were unwelcome. She put you in your place and you didn't like that, did you, Stevens?
I would never have done that. Never.
Dawkins, you have no case. This tea is disgusting.
I've got enough. And he'll cough, you'll see.
Tell me about the dead woman.
That's not easy.
Oh, why not?
Because Miss Emily Smith was a retiring sort of person. Well, if it didn't sound so insulting, I'd say she was almost anonymous.
What about her family? Her friends?
Her family were local people. They're all dead now. And she wasn't anxious to make friends.
No admirers, no fiancé.
So it seems.
You must know something about her.
She was quiet, courteous and well-respected.
And good at her job?
Oh, more than just that. She set up the school.
Indeed.
Yeah, when her parents died, I suppose she needed something to do. She'd care for them for a long time. It leaves a vacuum in your life.
What sort of a school is it?
For village children too young to come into town here to the board school. Miss Smith went to the parish council with the idea, and they let her use an empty house. She got a tiny living from them, too.
You seem to have a good deal of information on this anonymous young lady.
Only what's common knowledge, Mr. Holmes. Oh, you're right, it is disgusting.
Inspector, what about the footprints?
Or lack of footprints. Just how did Stevens manage to stab Miss Smith without leaving any traces?
Yeah, it puzzled me too at first.
Yes, and now?
The snow that night fell in flurries. Heavy bursts with gaps in between. Stevens brushed out his footprints after he stabbed Miss Smith, and the next flurry covered the brush marks.
It wasn't heavy enough to obscure the dead woman's print.
Exactly. Simple, you see. There's a London train in about half an hour. I'll order the wagon for you, shall I?
I believe I'd like to stay just a little longer.
Tell me why you did it.
I think you know that, Inspector.
You told me Emily Smith was your friend. You told me and you told Mr. Holmes.
Yes.
You were lying, weren't you?
No.
You weren't friends. In all the years you knew her, you were never a friend. Well?
I never said I was. I said she was my friend.
But you felt very differently about her.
There, you see. I knew you understood. You of all people.
Pretty girl.
With a whole life ahead of her.
Those sketches show her wearing a nightgown with a coat thrown over it. Are they accurate?
Yes. Lawrenson, that's the artist, makes something of a fetish of being accurate. Better than a photograph, he says.
A coat over her shoulders and boots on her feet. It wasn't clear from the drawing, but I assume the boots weren't buttoned.
No, they weren't. How did you know?
Who'll do the post-mortem?
The official police surgeon from Dover. He's coming over this afternoon. Bit of a formality, really.
Well, perhaps we can anticipate his findings. Watson, would you take a look?
With your permission, Inspector?
Yes, of course.
She told me about you, you know. All about you. She felt sorry for you. Did you know that? That was all. You couldn't give her what she wanted, you see. There was one thing she dreamed of more than anything else in the world. But you couldn't give it to her.
Could you?
Me? No. No, of course I couldn't.
My dear Inspector, it's a capital mistake to allow personal feelings to interfere with your investigation.
What do you mean, personal feelings?
You knew this woman. You cared for this woman. You've demonstrated the fact in a dozen ways.
How well did you know her, Inspector?
Not that well, actually. There was a robbery at Pangate Church. Petty hooligans down from London with the hot pickers. I met her then. We fell to talking.
You had something in common. Your parents had died. You were both alone in the world.
I gave that away too, did I? Well, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. Yes, Mr. Holmes, it occurred to me that we had something in common, so I asked her if I could call. It seemed reasonable enough.
But she said no.
Oh. She was very gentle about it, but no is still no. Doctor, do what you need to do. I'll be outside.
Dawkins?
Oh, thank you. Here, let me.
Thank you. Ah, doctor, what news?
I was right. The blow went straight into the heart. Mm-hmm. No deflection from the ribs or sternum, and she was struck from directly in front.
Directly? You're certain?
Completely.
Excellent.
Is that significant?
Almost certainly. Show me where the body was found. So, the village is there. Path to the church runs so. And the unfortunate young woman, Watson, the first drawing, if you please. The general view.
Here.
Thank you. Yes, the body was there.
Quite right.
Yes, it should be standard practice to invite an artist to the scene of every crime. I could cite you 36 cases where it would have been invaluable.
I'd be extremely interested.
Hmm. Well, perhaps later.
What now, then, Mr. Holmes?
Hmm? Yes. The couple who found the body?
Dr. and Mrs. Tranter?
Yes, where do they live?
Their house is just over that rise. We passed it on the way here.
Oh, very imposing for a village doctor.
Jealous, Watson.
Just noting the facts.
The doctor married into money.
That poor young woman. I'll never forget the sight of her lying there.
Oh, Dawkins, why is this necessary? Haven't you shown Mr. Holmes our official statements?
I have, sir.
But I'd still like to ask a few questions, if you've no objections.
Well, not if it will help, of course not.
And Mrs. Tranter, do you feel up to it?
It could be enormously valuable.
Then I'll try. Of course.
I'm most grateful. Dr. Tranter, at what point did you realise who the dead woman was?
Not until I was beside her.
You didn't recognise anything about her from further away?
I really didn't know her that well.
I see. Mrs. Tranter, were you acquainted with Miss Smith?
I couldn't say so, no.
She wasn't a frequent guest here.
Hardly, sir. I suppose the servants might have known her, but I don't encourage visitors below stairs.
Ah. Well, perhaps you saw her occasionally about the village?
Yes, I did. Sometimes she took the children out for a walk.
Doctor, how was the body lying?
On her back, with her head turned to the side. I didn't see the weapon immediately. Her coat was covering the handle.
She always looked so young.
Just a few more details. Mrs. Tranter, having established that Miss Smith was dead, your husband returned to the path and asked you to go down into the village and summon help.
Yes. Yes, he did. I found some people and told them what had happened.
You're surely not suggesting that I should have left my wife alone there and gone myself?
I'm just trying to build up a picture of what happened. While you waited, did you go back into the field?
I had no reason to do so.
Did you see anyone?
Not a soul.
Two final points. Do you know of anyone who disliked Miss Smith or wished her ill?
On the contrary.
How does it feel to hate someone that much?
I'm sure you already know that, Inspector.
Never mind what you think I know. Answer the question.
I'm awfully sorry, but I can't. I'm afraid I don't remember.
Well, it's about time.
What do you mean, sir?
I fancy Mr. Lawrenson's referring to his recent burglary.
Huh? I most certainly am.
You've been burgled?
Good God above, of course I have. I discovered it this morning and sent a note to your police station, Dawkins. Isn't that why you're here?
No, sir. We're here in connection with the death of Miss Emily Smith. This gentleman would like to ask you a few questions.
My name is Sherlock Holmes.
I know who you are. I've seen the pictures of you. Pretty poor work, some of them, too. And you're Watson.
Dr. Watson. Good afternoon.
Well, you haven't fared any better, have you? Paget hasn't caught you at all. Man ought to be shot.
Oh, we're not here to discuss the deficiencies of the Strand magazine, Mr. Lawrenson. What was taken in the burglary?
I thought you weren't here to talk about that, either.
Just tell us, please, sir.
Nothing. Nothing was taken.
But the robber made a pretty mess.
Yes, he did, damn the man. I suppose that's how you knew about it, Holmes.
That and the broken lock on the window is perfectly obvious, even from here. Shall we continue this conversation outside?
If you'd taken more pride in your garden, your burglar might have left us some clues to his identity. There's nothing like a freshly turned flower bed for preserving evidence.
I have no interest in gardening, Mr. Holmes.
No, but you do have an interest in murder.
Only as a subject for my art. Well, Holmes, what can you tell me about my burglar?
Nothing, as yet.
So it's not just your features that the Strand exaggerates?
Perhaps not. How well did you know the late Miss Smith?
Know her? I didn't know her at all.
He was lying.
Yeah. She took delivery of several of his paintings for the school.
How do you know that?
There was a receipt for them amongst his scattered papers. The date was over 2 months ago.
So he'd known her for quite some time?
Yeah, but felt the need to conceal the fact.
If he was the killer, then he's as cold-blooded as they come. To stand there cool as ice and sketch his own handiwork.
Could he have faked the burglary to throw us off the scent?
Yes, he could. The window was crudely broken.
I didn't bring Stevens in until early this morning. I think I'll have another word with him when we get back.
So now you think I'm a burglar too?
You tell me.
I have told you. I didn't break into anyone's house. I didn't kill Miss Smith. I haven't done anything.
Stevens, what's wrong with your back?
I fell off a ladder last week. You can ask Dr. Tranter if you don't believe me.
Did he treat you at the school?
At first. Then I went to his surgery. Why?
How much longer can you hold Stevens without formally arresting him?
Just until tomorrow morning.
Do you intend to charge him?
No. I have to agree with you, Mr. Holmes. I don't have a good enough case.
Well, don't be too downhearted. I rather think that Mr. Albert Stevens will be far more valuable to us at liberty than he would locked in your cells.
What are you staring at? Stop that staring.
Oh, don't be angry, Inspector. I didn't mean to offend you. I was just thinking.
Huh? What? Thinking what?
Thinking how much we have in common.
Don't you say that. Shut up!
But it's true. You wanted to do it too, didn't you? You wanted to do exactly what I did.
Who else holds the key, Stevens?
Miss Smith had one. Probably the school board too.
What will happen to the place now, Inspector? Do you know?
I suppose it'll have to close.
It mustn't close. What about the children?
Or maybe the board could find someone else to run it.
Could that have been a possible motive? Someone wanted the position.
She was killed for a job.
Her murders have been committed for less. Now, presumably she used one room as an office.
Through there.
Well, Mr. Holmes?
Well, they're surprisingly little. Most people's characters can be read quite easily from their workplace. Unfortunately, our schoolteacher was not one of them.
You've seen nothing at all?
Well, beyond the obvious facts that she was tidy, methodical, musical, creative, well-liked by her pupils and much concerned for their general welfare, I can deduce nothing.
That's right. That's exactly how she was.
Tidy and methodical, yes, you can see that, of course. Musical, you got from the Sun copies. How did you know she was creative?
Story for the children, written in her own hand.
Ah.
Yeah, there are many.
Yeah, she was always writing stories.
Yes, and her love for her charges was reciprocated. Look at the affectionate nature of the paintings they've done of her.
Her concern for their health and welfare?
It's a copy of a letter to Dr. Tranter, asking if he can arrange a regular visit. Yes, but none of this is important. Let's hope that her home proves more forthcoming.
The villagers found the cottage unlocked on Sunday morning.
Do you know if anyone went inside?
Well, if they did, no one's admitted to it. I put a man to guard the door as soon as I could.
So how long did you keep him stationed here?
Until I got him myself. I went inside, found the keys, and made the place secure. They were on a hook in the hallway, so I didn't have to disturb anything at all.
Ah, yes, that's excellent. Have you been in here before, Stevens?
Of course not.
Well, I thought you were friends.
She was my friend.
But she never invited you here?
Well, she liked her privacy.
Indeed. Now, there are several points of interest in this hallway, wouldn't you say, Sir Dawkins?
Well,
Well, just stay here, if you please, while I examine the main room. Ah, yes, this is better.
We shouldn't be doing this. It's like a violation.
Don't you want her killer brought to justice?
This is all wrong. I keep expecting her to come down the stairs or something.
She won't be coming down the stairs.
You think I don't know that? You think I don't know she's dead? I know it.
Yeah, and so you damn well should.
I didn't do it. How many times? Is that why you brought me here? You think I'm going to break down and confess?
No, that's not why you're here.
Then why?
Because Mr. Holmes thinks you can help.
Help? How on earth can I help?
By telling me where she was planning to go.
To go? What do you mean?
Come through. I no doubt you observed the travelling trunk under the stairs in the hallway. It was brought into this room very recently, opened and packed. Now, why should she do that if she wasn't planning to go away?
She would never have left the village. What about the children?
We'll come to that in a moment.
How do you know about the trunk?
From the marks on the floorboards and the rug.
Oh.
The trunk was dragged in here, opened out, packed, and then unpacked in some haste and put away again.
Why on earth would she do such a thing?
She didn't. Miss Smith packed the trunk, but it was emptied by someone else. Someone who was strong enough to return it to the hallway without leaving any extra marks on the floor.
I'm sorry, but I can't see that there's been any packing and unpacking.
Yes, remember how tidy she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, how neat. It's perfectly plain that a good many items in this room are not in their proper places. Personal things, things she was planning to take with her. I mean, they're close, but they're not exact. Because they were put back by someone working at speed and almost certainly under some emotional strain.
Someone who wanted to disguise the fact that she'd been planning a journey.
Exactly. So we now know three things of some importance. Firstly, Emily Smith
intended to leave this village, possibly for good.
I don't believe...
Secondly, this lady, who so valued her privacy, had a visitor late Saturday evening.
Stevens?
Not me.
And lastly, this cottage was broken into, probably on Sunday night.
Good God.
A rear window was forced. The signs are unmistakable. And the window frame was extremely informative.
Can you tell if anything was stolen?
Not yet, but I don't believe so. Now, I think it's likely that this remarkable burglar broke in for the express purpose of unpacking that trunk. Now, Watson, these should interest you. Now, wait here, please.
What are they, Doctor?
Well, this one's a letter, finished and signed. It's to the school board. It's a resignation.
So she was leaving.
Why didn't she tell me?
And this is older, I think. Looks like a draft for a story.
Huh?
A princess lived in a kingdom far away from everywhere else, where she had to stay because she was very poor. Her only friends were the children.
Her only friends, dear God.
And they loved her, and she loved them very much.
Stop it. It's private.
Then one day, a handsome prince came riding into the kingdom and fell in love with the poor princess, and she fell in love with him. And he said, come away with me to my land and be my wife. And she did.
And the princess and the prince lived very, very happily forever and ever after. Unfortunately, the fairy tale turned out to have a rather different ending. Watson, I can now answer your question. Something was taken, but it wasn't stolen.
Mr. Holmes, please, no riddles.
Patience, Inspector. He'll explain when he's good and ready.
Dawkins, I'll tell you this much. This was a callous, cowardly, and despicable murder.
You know who did it?
Stevens.
No!
I suggest you go home. You have my word that Miss Smith's killer will be brought to justice.
So, assuming you're right, and the story's autobiographical...
The travelling trunk suggests as much. And there's the recent change in her personality, torn between her own happiness and the children in her care.
Well, then, was it this mysterious lover who killed her?
Or someone else who didn't want to see her leave?
And in either case, how was it...
I suggest that you ask yourselves a different question.
What's that?
Why did she die in that particular spot? Never mind the lack of marks in the snow. Why was she in that field, dressed as she was?
Well,
It'd be interesting to hear some more opinions of this singular young woman. I suggest we repair to somewhere more congenial. There we are.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. Well, did you learn anything?
Oh, yeah, next to nothing. For once, local gossips let us down.
Well, I did say. Anonymous.
Well, I did discover one thing of interest.
What?
That popular opinion is that you had the right man, Dawkins.
Well, frankly, Mr. Holmes, I'm still inclined to think so myself. And you've just let him walk free.
You tell me something.
Tell you what?
Well, some local information. If I was a village odd job man, where would I go if I wanted to lay my hands on some opium?
Opium?
Are you saying there's a drug connection to all this?
I'll explain in a moment, but first, please, answer the question.
You'd have to go into Folkestone or Dover, and then you'd need to show good cause why you wanted it.
You don't know of an illegal source closer to hand?
In a village the size of Pangate?
Hmm.
I'll be prepared to swear that there isn't one. New Horton, the same.
As I thought. Thank you.
You've discovered something. Was it at the cottage?
Yes. Take a look at this.
It's just a cheap drinking glass.
Yes, containing the dregs of something very interesting. I mean, I can't be sure without a proper analysis, but the odour is quite distinctive. Watson.
Oh. I think you're right. Some sort of opiate.
Mixed in with a strong red wine.
Where was it?
In Miss Smith's bedroom. It had rolled under a cupboard.
What on earth made you look there?
Well, the fact that I couldn't see it anywhere else.
You were expecting to find it.
Well, let's say there was a very strong possibility.
You can't be suggesting she was in the habit of drinking that stuff.
What I'm suggesting is that her Saturday night visitor provided it for the purpose of rendering her insensible. The wine would have been ample disguise, especially if the young lady wasn't used to it.
But that doesn't make sense. If this visitor was a lover, why would he want to harm her?
And in any case, if he planned to kill her, why content himself with just drugging her?
Oh, surely to God... She wasn't attacked by two separate people.
No. I believe the caller was our murderer. I think he was concerned about being seen either arriving at the cottage or leaving it. If he'd stabbed Miss Smith there and then, the time of death would have pointed straight to him.
Ah, but with her whole system affected by the drug, the time the blow was dealt could never be accurately fixed.
So our man planned to coerce her to drink the wine and then return either later that night or early the next morning.
By God, that's devilish. But who was it?
Opiums extracted from immature poppy seeds. A simple enough process. The poppy's an interesting plant. Its seeds are highly prized by cooks, and its oil much favoured by those who mix their own paints.
Of course I mix my pigments. Show me any self-respecting artist who doesn't. What of it?
Do you use poppy oil?
That insipid stuff. It's too thin for decent dark colours. Dawkins, have you caught the burglar yet?
No, sir.
Then why are you wasting my time with these damn fool questions?
Well, you might be interested to learn that yours wasn't the only house broken into.
Not in the least interested.
The other victim was the late Emily Smith.
Really?
You told us you didn't know her. That wasn't the truth, was it?
Be careful what you say, Dawkins.
She liked your work. At least to begin with. What caused the change of heart?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she agreed to hang several of your paintings at the school. They're no longer there. Though the places where they were are obvious enough. They were taken down in a moment of anger and never replaced.
The petty-minded little prude.
Oh, so not only did you know her, you didn't like her.
Sorry, Doctor, I didn't kill her. Your precious Mr. Holmes has got it wrong this time.
Seems to me he's got it quite right. Why did you lie about your relationship with her?
My relationship? I don't know that you could call it that.
Call it what you like. Just tell us about it.
Yes, I knew her. Yes, she agreed to show some of my pieces at the school. She liked them. And she thought other people might too. Waste of time. No one in this nest of peasants knows the first thing about art.
Just the facts, if you please.
You want to know why she suddenly went off me? Because I flattered her, that's why.
Ah, you asked her to pose for you.
And little Miss Purity took offence.
You mean you asked her to pose nude?
Good God, you're shocked too.
But why lie about it?
Look at him. Look at the good inspector there, guardian of law and order, defender of the right. He thinks I'm only one step away from a white slaver. That's why I lied about it.
Your reason was as transparent as your attempt to dissemble. If you'd spent more time reading The Strand and less sneering at the pictures, you'd know that it's a mistake to lie to me.
You didn't seriously think it was Lawrenson, did you?
No. Yeah, but there were several loose ends I had to tie up.
About his story?
About his window. I wanted to take another look at the way it had been forced. I saw what I was expecting to see.
So we're right back where we were?
Oh, on the contrary. We progress in giant strides.
I still don't quite follow this matter of the opium. Obviously the plan went wrong.
Emily Smith was stronger than her killer thought.
And she didn't succumb completely to the drug.
Oh, she spent a fretful night slipping in and out of consciousness. There's ample evidence in the state of her bed linen. And finally, this wretched woman, probably with no idea at all of what was wrong with her, staggered out of her cottage and into the field, where she met her end.
Oh, dear God. She must have thought she'd been taken ill.
Exactly so. And, naturally enough, she was trying to reach her doctor.
Well, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
You can help to clear up a few final points, if you'd be so kind.
I'd be happy to help, if I can. What do you want to know?
You said that Miss Smith was a patient of yours.
So she was.
You also said that you very rarely saw her professionally.
She enjoyed good health. Rest her soul.
Good health, quite. Her constitution was robust.
I'd say so, yes.
That would be your professional opinion.
Certainly.
And is it also your professional opinion that you should have used a stronger concentration of opium in your claret?
I beg your pardon?
Well, it's certainly my professional opinion that you persuaded Miss Smith to drink quite heavily when you called on her on Saturday evening, a celebration to mark the start of your new life together.
I've absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Was she flattered by your attentions, Tranter, the wealthy, well-established doctor interested in the humble schoolteacher? You promised her undying love. And something else as well, something that you correctly guessed would win her over completely. You promised her a wonderful new life, far away from this place with all its unhappy memories, and she believed you.
You callous, cold-blooded bastard.
I thank you to moderate your language, Inspector, and not to believe the ravings of this madman.
How long did it take before she realised the truth, that she was nothing more than just a mild diversion, an escape from a life of respectability and routine?
I think you'd better leave my house.
And what happened then? Did she threaten to tell your wife?
You killed her to save your marriage. Good.
No, not just his marriage, his whole way of life. Power and position, wealth and respectability, hard things to turn your back on. You conceal it better than your wife does, Tranter, but you're just as much the common snob as she is.
That's enough. You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
The only way to prevent her ruining you was to convince her she was wrong, that you were genuine, and heaven help her. You succeeded.
She resigned from her job. She tried to prepare the children with that story.
And you called round with your celebratory drink to ready her for your final move. I imagine it was easy enough to hide the fact that you weren't actually drinking yourself while you made sure she took enough to knock herself out, except that, unfortunately for you, she didn't.
By God, you must have had a shock when you saw her lying in that field.
Yes, but you thought quickly, and your new plan bordered on genius. You had Stephen's chisel in your pocket. You'd already stolen it to frame him, and under cover of lifting the woman up to see if she was still alive, you stabbed her to death.
Oh, bravo. That's the most imaginative bit of fiction I've heard in years. I look forward to our encounter in court, Holmes.
There's more than enough proof, Tranter, thanks to your own foolish mistakes. The next time you break into a cottage, I suggest you use something more substantial than a surgical knife. I found the tip of the blade still wedged into the window frame. The shape and the steel are completely distinctive.
I'm accused of burglary, too, am I? Anyone can obtain a surgical knife.
You had to remove the evidence. You unpacked her trunk and put it away, and you took the damning wine bottle, but you couldn't find the glass she'd use, and you assumed she'd washed it and put it away before your drug took effect. And once again, you were wrong.
We have that glass, and what was left in it.
And the post-mortem will detect the remains of the opiate in her body.
You made a fourth mistake. Breaking into Lawrence's studio for the sketches that weren't there. And a fifth, they carry no information to link you to the crime anyway.
Fantasy. Every word of it. My so-called affair with this woman. You have witnesses, do you? You have letters, you have dates and times, you have evidence of assignation.
We have more than enough. Dr. Frederick Tranter, in the name of Queen Victoria, I'm placing you under arrest for the willful murder of Miss Emily Smith.
Frederick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but aren't you going to offer our guests some tea? Honestly, gentlemen, what sort of hosts must you think we are?
No tea, thank you, Catherine.
I'm very tired now. I think I'd like to go back to my cell.
In a minute.
More questions?
Just the one. Well, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, what can I say?
Well, perhaps that you've learned the value of keeping an open mind.
Yes, I have. And that the doctor's stories don't exaggerate, whatever Mr. Lawrenson might think.
I've never found it necessary, Inspector.
No, I can see that. We'll need you back down here for the trial.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Oh. If I might offer one word of advice...
Oh, I'll be grateful for it.
Keep questioning the villagers. It won't hurt your case to have some concrete evidence that Tranter and Miss Smith were in the habit of meeting.
I plan to do that anyway, Mr. Holmes.
That's good man.
Yeah, this is going to be quite a business, I reckon, once the papers get hold of it.
It could be something of a boost to your career, Inspector.
I doubt it, Doctor. Seems to me all I've done is tag along in Mr. Holmes's footsteps. He's the one who should get all the glory.
You should reread Watson's stories, Dawkins. Hmm? I play the game, for the game's own sake. The official forces of law and order always get the credit. I prefer it that way.
Well, go on, Inspector. Ask me a question.
I can see why you did it.
Of course you can. You understand everything. I said that. You understand me better than the famous Mr. Sherlock Holmes ever could.
But why did you make it so obvious? Why did you want me to catch you? If he'd done things a bit differently, he could have probably got away with it forever.
It was a telegram for you, mm-hmm. from New Horton.
Yeah, probably the date of the trial.
Yeah. Oh, that was a decent thing you did, letting Dawkins take the credit. Well, when is it?
There isn't going to be a trial.
What do you mean?
See for yourself.
Come on, Tranter, stir yourself.
Good morning, Inspector.
Two bars on cell window expertly removed. Tranter dead. Murder weapon.
A carpenter's chisel. So, Dawkins deserves his credit. He was right. He saw murder in Stephen's eyes.
Get away with it. I didn't think about getting away with it. It had to be done, that was all. And I was the one who had to do it. It was for her. That was my job. Doing things for her. That was my job. I'd like to go back to my cell now, please. May I go back to my cell?
In The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Bert Stevens was played by Mark Gatiss, Inspector Dawkins by Christian Rodsker, Emily Smith by Jamie Barbakoff, Dr. Tranter by Philip Fox, Mrs. Tranter by Rachel Atkins, and Alfred Lawrenson by Chris Moran. The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith was written by Bert Cools, from a reference in the short story The Norwood Builder by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.